And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to an in-arena edition of the Warriors All 82 podcast. I went and got the controversial Nate Duncan to talk a little Warriors Hornets. Some James Wiseman LaMelo Ball. That's probably not the story of the night, though. Draymond Green, 19 assists. Warriors, 3 straight wins. 19 and 15. First time they've had 3 straight wins. Let's zoom out before we zoom into the game. Where are you at on this Warriors team right now?
Yeah, it's starting to look pretty good. Kelly Oubre is out of his slump. He's hitting the 3. You tweeted out his number. He's averaging over 20 points a game. In February, he had 6 dunks in the first quarter. He's starting to look really good. I think the Warriors are getting to the point where, against most bad teams, particularly when they're not on the road, they're doing a pretty good job. I think you can expect them to win most of those games. And this upcoming stretch is obviously going to be really telling. They've reached a point at which they are
really good defensively, I think. Right now, you don't really see a lot of weaknesses out there. If you just go through all of the players on this roster, like most of the guys who get minutes are, if not great defenders, at least guys who can't be taken advantage of physically. And then they also have Steph as well. So I think really their biggest vulnerability is the teams that really are connected, that aren't going to make mistakes defensively, that can stay with Steph Curry and make the Warriors play a little bit more one-on-one instead of Draymond just diming guys up. So that's going to be the next test for them, is whether they can score against some really good defenses.
Yeah, no, I've definitely noticed that this year where, like, suddenly the offense looks really good against average to below average teams. Like, Cleveland comes in here and it's like they're just going to keep giving up backdoors because Colin Sexton doesn't know what's going on. And there's just breakdown after breakdown. And suddenly you're like, man, this is a 2018-type Warriors machine. I mean, they lead the NBA in assists right now is a stat Steve Kerr said postgame, which is kind of crazy. But sometimes that style of attack doesn't work, like you said, against better defenses. And they are about to see the Lakers a couple times in the next 6 games, the Clippers, the Jazz. So, yeah, I want to see if that style works a bit more than maybe it has previously. But let's talk about Draymond. 11 points tonight. They just moved to 7-0 this season when he scores 8 or more. Kind of crazy he's only scored 8 or more points 7 times. But he's talking like he's feeling like he's in better shape. Clearly the Charlotte ejection motivated him because this was 3 of his best games of the season. You know, the 19 assists, it looks good. But honestly, I care more about the 11 points. He took 3 threes tonight and made one. And I think he's made a 3 in a few of the last handful of games. And he does seem to at least be becoming a little bit more threatening than he did going to the rim when they give him the lane. And if he does do that a few times per game, he made 5 shots tonight, then defenses have to at least act like he might do it. And then that opens up the passing. And his vision right now is unbelievable. So I don't know. I don't know if this is a stretch of a lot of really good games coming up for Draymond, because he's not going to score like he did in the past, but I still think he's in a pretty good place right now.
Yeah, he's enough of a threat, particularly with Steph out there, because teams know that he can always just go screen for Steph if you're not guarding him. And he at least will take the 3 when he's in rhythm and open. You know, when he gets it up top and he feels like he can get something juicier, he'll look for that. But you throw it to him on the wing and it's late in the clock, he'll at least look to take it. And he's got like the fake DHOs going a little bit. He went up for a dunk attempt the other night that was pretty aggressive against the Pacers. as well. I think Wiseman being back actually helps him a lot too, because now that two-on-one, when it's him coming downhill and he can always throw it up to Wiseman, now the guy's so worried about Wiseman that he can maybe finish it as well. And, you know, when it's him and Looney, that's a little bit more difficult. But, I mean, he's just out there, like, controlling guys with the joystick. Like, he's just, like, pointing Andrew Wiggins to go somewhere. And, oh, Andrew Wiggins just cuts and he gets a layup, right? I mean, against this Charlotte team, his brain, especially when you put him together with Steph, that a young team like this, you know, Jalen McDaniels and Miles Bridges as the backup four and five, like they can't deal with that.
No, I mean, now he's controlling Oubre now. Suddenly the joystick's working for Oubre, which, you know, the first month that was a big problem. He was trying to point Oubre this way, and Oubre's running into Steph over here. And all six of Kelly Oubre's first quarter dunks, all six were assisted by Draymond Green. That's working. Kelly Oubre's working on this team right now. Kelly Oubre's been better than Andrew Wiggins in the month of February. Kelly Oubre is averaging over 20 points on 50% shooting, 44% from three in February. He's not going to keep shooting 44% from three, but he looks like a really good Warriors player right now, which is like, I didn't know that. If you asked me in January, I didn't think that was ever going to happen, where he'd look like he might help them, but I didn't think he was going to look like he'd help them within their style of play. He looks like a fit right now.
Yeah, it's going to start to become a storyline of how much it's going to cost to re-sign him.
Times seven on the tax or whatever it's gonna be. What do you? I'm okay. What's his market? We can talk bigger scope on Oubre. What do you think his market will be?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. There's a lot of free agent money out there, and I mean, we'll see how he looks down the rest of the year and in the playoffs. You know, he had some time in the playoffs early in his career with Washington, but obviously not the last 2 years with Phoenix. He's been healthy too. He was coming off that meniscus surgery. I mean, he is just an absolutely devastating dunker. I mean, it is really underrated, and you know, I'm sure you put this in your piece today, but he's got 58 dunks in 33 games, and I think he has 71 is his career high before this, and obviously in a lot more games than that. So, and he had a lot of those dunks and cuts last year with Phoenix too. And his defense has been very solid. So I think I really want to see what he looks like, you know, if he's got a guard, a big wing in the playoffs as well. But he's also probably their best option on point guards. I mean, he's playing the two right now. He is a two-man with a 7'2 wingspan, and he's hitting his threes. So you can't really complain about what you're getting from him right now. So, I mean, you would think he's like a solid wing starter. That's like, at least – a long-term deal at what he's making now is your starting point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and he's right now proving he can be a winning perimeter component on a winning defense. I mean, this is a fourth-ranked defense in basketball, and he's a pretty big part of it. I mean, I would say Wiggins is more their, like, I don't even want to call Wiggins necessarily a stopper, but he's their version of a stopper.
Yeah, he's not going to get run over, yeah. Right? Like, that's what you need at that position.
Yeah, but Oubre takes shifts on the best perimeter players. He gets steals, blocks, deflections. Early in the season he was having a lot of defensive errors, getting beat back door. Sometimes he'd come back and block the shot, but he doesn't really seem to be like you. I mean, it's not that he doesn't make any errors, but I definitely don't remember. You know, you're not seeing them as often. He's like locked in right now. Like, he just is a really steady, consistent player. And now the first month it was like he would have the random 7 of 10 night and a random great night, but it was always mixed in with like 1 of 10, and like, you know, he lost them games. Like, there were several games in January where you left the game going, man, Kelly Oubre straight up lost them this game. He hasn't done that in a month. Like, this has been like a really consistent play for 14 straight games, really. So that's very encouraging. Wiseman, another odd night for really an odd rookie. 16 points in 16 minutes. Dunk machine, 7 to 10. Had a really sweet block. Nice, like, double jump defensive play. Like, obviously, like, the superstar potential, if that was like the consistent player, is like, you know, continuing to show itself several times per game, but also the strange mistakes. At this point, he probably would have, you know, if he catches every single pass tonight, I think we both counted five, that's another 10 points. We're talking about 26 points in 16 minutes. Not that, like, we should, expect him to catch every ball, but five in a game, five bobbles in a game is a lot. And then, you know, they try him in the second unit, and he's trying the mid-post stuff, the fadeaways over Gordon Hayward. I get it. I advocated him being in that second unit. I do think if they actually want to try this, they need to get a better mix. I've talked about Jordan Poole as a playmaker and some wings. I don't really like him next to Pascal, but you got to find minutes for Pascal. I don't know. It's odd. But he's the second overall pick, and they're trying to develop him. They're trying to win. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of weird. It's a weird balance that they're trying to strike here, because it's not like he's not showing the potential of, you know, down the road, if developed right, he could be a franchise piece. But at the same time, he can be hurtful at times on the court for them, but also helpful. It's just all.
Yeah, I mean, it's particularly, like, going to him in the post as a source of offense on the second unit. Like, that's not the right. He did have, like, the 1-6 spin move. Who was that? Was that on Miles Bridges?
Washington, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. P.J. Washington's not a very good individual defender.
I mean, that's like, if you just saw that play, if I brought you to the game, yeah, and you just saw that play, you might go, is that the best player in the NBA right there?
Yeah, no, you would, but then, I mean, and I think he needs to get stronger, too. I mean, he looks big, and he's huge, but he also can't get low. He can't really move guys like Hayward, right? I mean, and he wants to go for, like, the skill game and the spin move and the step back fadeaway, and when it looks the best for him is when he's getting that deep post up, deep seal, sprinting the floor in transition against a smaller player. Like, those are some of the really nice plays.
Yeah, and, you know, by the way, if anybody's hearing the walkie-talkie, that's just it's just a little in-arena fireworks. It's okay. People, we're back at the arena. This is good. This is what my podcast used to have when I used to go to games. But, he's best right now as a power player. And you're right. I mean, he gets – I think the legs maybe – you know, legs will get stronger. But he's clearly – I mean, he's 19. He's getting pushed around sometimes by grown men a bit. But if he just had the power mentality and was like, every bucket I'm going to get is going to be, you know, I'm fighting on the glass, I'm deep ceiling. Sometimes he does get down deep, has a smaller player. Draymond threw one over the top today and he got a bucket off of it. But he does have some decent touch on the jumper. And, you know, he's admitted it to me. He kind of falls in love with it a little bit. You know, he's always played, like, you know, because he's so impactful. If he, even earlier in his career in high school, when they're like, hey, you know, be more physical, go dominate, he's like, well, I kind of want to shoot the jumper once in a while. And they're going to probably have to live with that. And as they try to grow him, I mean, him having a three-point jumper, although I should say he should probably only do threes or dunks, right? I mean, like, he should probably give up the two-point jumper. He's probably not going to, though, so you're going to have to try to live with that. I don't know. But, like, do you think he can be a winning component this year? Or, I mean, maybe that's just a night-to-night thing. Like, what kind of Wiseman do you get on that particular night?
Yeah. Well, I do think that Looney, Pascal, and Draymond are all better center options for them. Like, Pascal, I think we've seen at least that he can be a slight source of offense on that second unit where you can actually throw the ball to him and he can create something in a matchup, which I don't necessarily trust Wiseman to do. I think he's getting better defensively. You know, he's still Ethan talked about this on the pod that we did. He still does these just jump in the air, but kind of deactivate and not really actually try to stop the guy, which was better than just jumping at everything and fouling. So he at least avoided that tonight. But he doesn't have a great natural timing for shot blocks. It's just that he, or at least when it's in the guy's hand, right? If guys move the ball around, he's not going to be able to get them. He'll get the shots in the air, like on that double, the second effort play that he made. So, but we're not seeing the egregious kind of mistakes as much. He did get killed in pick and roll defense when Sabonis went crazy. He and TJ McConnell were going nuts on Wiseman in the Indiana game in the second quarter. But it's not as egregious as we're seeing. He did get pulled for a defensive mistake in the fourth. So I don't think that – hopefully it's getting to the point where in most matchups he's not going to kill them, which is kind of what was happening very early on. but he also isn't the best option either. And they're going to keep playing him. If we get it in the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked. And maybe he'll get better, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him on 8 minutes a game in the playoffs by the end of the series.
We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I think they're pretty committed to the close. You know, you come in at the 6 minute mark, you know, when they pull Looney, 6 or 5 minute mark of the first and third quarter. Because Looney, you know, I mean, Looney's not at a physical point where you want him going longer than 6-7 minute stretches, anyways. Closing the quarter, you know, with Draymond and Steph.
Looney was great tonight, though. I thought he's
had a good season.
He can stay in front of guys on switches. Like, it is a. When you got him and Draymond and Wiggins and Oubre and Steph out there, has gotten much better as an individual defender too. They can switch everything if they need to, and like they're actually much more comfortable switching him onto guys on the perimeter than Draymond at this point. Like they'll switch everything with him, whereas Draymond is playing much more of a conventional pick and roll defense than he has been. We'll see whether that changes later in the year. Because they just want to keep him on the back line to rotate. And he's been very good in that role, forcing misses at the rim the last few games. But, I mean, Kevon Looney has been really good. Like, he's really underrated. And, yeah, he'll do these awkward pump fakes. But he just knows where to go. He knows how to screen. He's, especially against a team that doesn't have a ton of size and athleticism, like the Charlotte team, like, he'd be really effective.
Yeah. The Warriors just, I mean, like, the Wiseman thing is going to be something for them all season to just kind of, it'll be give and take with that balance. They do need to find a better second unit. You know, the Pascal small ball ran its course, it felt like, you know, it had.
Well, if he can just, like, get healthy again, I mean, you would agree he just doesn't look as explosive as he did early in the season, right?
No, he had like an 8 minute stretch where it was like 14. They had that 7 game homestand at the start of the season. Pretty much all 7 games. It was like 14 a night in like 13 minutes on like efficient stuff. But they was like always burst by the big. That first step go isn't there. He's still wearing the leg sleeve on the knee. I really do think they might give Poole a run. What do you think about Wanamaker? Where are you at on Wanamaker? Because that really probably is where the decision lies, where Steve Kerr is saying Brad Wanamaker has been a part of this great defense. You know, it's like when Steph and Draymond are off the floor, there's, you know, it's 12 minutes a game of Brad Wanamaker, and they say he's, you know, the argument is he's just steady. He's defending well in that second unit because he's not shooting it well. He's not finishing at the rim. He's not a playmaker. He's just not a good offensive player right now. But if you put Jordan Poole and James Wiseman for the first 6 minutes of the second and fourth quarters, you're going to, I believe, score better. And Wiseman really likes playing with Poole, and you'll have some pick and roll juice. And not only that, you're going to discover what you have in your last two first-round picks, but you're going to defend worse. And if you're trying to build a backbone as this like top five, now top four defensive team in the NBA, it's risky to do that for 12 minutes game. But at the same point, I mean, Wanamaker's giving you nothing offensively right now.
Yeah, I think he can be better, particularly as a spot-up shooter. It's just that, I mean, he's not a pick-and-roll point guard. And so expecting him to, you know, to be the guy running the offense, like, that's never been what he's going to do. I think the biggest problem with the second unit is actually Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins has been horrible in those minutes. You hoped that. And I think he's been a decent enough fit for this team overall, but like he basically has forgotten how to dribble at this point. Like he can't even like take more than two dribbles against any kind of pressure without fumbling it or losing it. And his mid-range jumper is not going down at all. Like he's shooting 36% on mid-range jumpers when I checked it a couple of days ago. And particularly in those minutes where, I mean, they're not going to him to create. Like, I'd like to see them post him up a little bit more. Like, that's really the one place he's able to be effective, get into that jump hook and maybe forcing a double team. But like the hope was that he could be, yeah, he's never been efficient, but you know, he could give you a 52% true shooting, and like, you know, this is a guy who is like 30% usage, and like, not, he was never particularly efficient. He didn't do other things, but he could at least like create a few shots for you at like slightly below league average and make some of them. And he's not even doing that right now.
No, he had moments early in the season. I mean, with Steph off the court, that win they had in Detroit on that opening road trip, where it felt really questionable early in the season, where they got blown out twice. I remember he had like 17 fourth quarter points, and like 12 of them were like right at the start of the fourth. And that was like, yeah, that's the second unit leader you were expecting. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I hadn't thought about it much, but I mean, when you make the point about the dribbling and pressure, yeah, he's like, where it's like the ball, sometimes he even like maintains possession, but it's like, it kind of like goes away from me. He has to like chase it down, exactly, and like grab and like pass it. Yeah, I agree with you, but at this point, I don't expect Andrew Wiggins to be the offensive hub of that unit. And that's, I mean, let me ask you about Jordan Poole then. I mean, you know, I think he's like third in the G League bubble in scoring. I mean, I know his flaws. I know he hasn't shown a ton, although I thought as more of an on-ball guy late in his rookie season, he did show a bit more. He has creative passing skill. He's also turnover prone. What do you think about that idea of Poole, Wiseman, and three wings? Or, you know, you could have Pascal in that unit, but I've said Poole, Wiseman, three wings. See what you got in those two together, who do like, they do like running the pick and roll together.
Yeah, I mean, you've been lapping up these Santa Cruz games. I haven't watched much of that. I mean, in his NBA career, I haven't seen anything to indicate that Jordan Poole is capable of being a primary creator at the NBA level. I think he just doesn't have the level of athleticism or shot making that you need. I mean, he's got some creativity. He's got some moxie. I get that. But I also do think that giving Wiseman some more pick and roll reps would be useful. And
because then you're giving Wiseman a little bit more offensive creativity exploration in that second unit. But you're not doing it like they're doing it now when you got Wanamaker out there. When it's like, oh, let's like try to post him up in the mid post and like let run through him. It's like, no, it would be running him as the screener with Poole. That I like that more than what they're doing. If they're committed to like giving Wiseman this developmental time, which is it's already during their worst points of the game, then I just think they should create an environment to maximize him more than like you saw that lineup out there. Like, that is not a good NBA lineup.
Well, and so are you just taking Pascal out at this point then?
Yeah, I mean, you could even give Pascal some 4 minutes in the first or third quarter. But like, my thing with Eric Pascal is like, you're an NBA four. I understand that like they found a little bit of a small ball rhythm, but like, if he's going to be a center, he's going to be a third or fourth center on an NBA team. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. His future, like, he better learn how to play the four. As we're talking about this team trying to figure out who they are as they go into next season, get Klay Thompson back, Eric Pascal needs to be a four. Like, he's just, that's what he is.
Well, I also wouldn't mind just maybe saying, hey, we're going to shut Eric Pascal down for the next three games in the All-Star break and, like, try to actually get him right. You know, I think that's the bigger problem. Like, the knee soreness, like, doesn't look like it's going away. And to his credit, I think he's found a way to play with that, where he's using his power a little bit more. He's playing even slower, but he doesn't have the lift on his jump shot. He doesn't have the same lift around the rim. He doesn't have that quick first step going to his left that he had a month ago before he started missing time with the knee soreness. So, I mean, I don't think that you need to like build everything around Eric Pascal, but the reality is that's really the only time that group has been effective this year. And so, yeah, I mean, would I try it? Sure. You know, maybe they could even try to find someone who can run a little more pick and roll at the deadline or on the buyout market. I mean, that's always, but that second unit just needs, all you need is just something, right? I mean, maybe that's giving Wiggins some more reps as a pick-and-roll guy and hoping that he can discover more. Maybe that's like, all right, we're going to post him up half of these possessions and see what happens. But they pass the ball around and they just don't really have an identity of what they're going to do other than just stopping people. And even that is not going to be that amazing either. So,
Last segment. So the Warriors are now tied with the Spurs and Blazers in fifth in the West. They're about to play all of those top five teams over a 6-game stretch. Where are they at in your like West pecking order right now? Obviously the Jazz, we don't even need to have a conversation about Jazz and the two LA teams. But Phoenix, is Phoenix a clear four to you right now in the West?
Yeah, I would put Phoenix pretty clearly ahead of the Warriors as it stands right now. Maybe we'll see them start to look a little bit better. But yeah, I would say so with Phoenix. But then, Denver is really, really struggling.
Denver's at the eight, which is weird. You would think they were the guaranteed five, where like the tops you would feel like the Warriors should get to six. But right now, the two teams that the Warriors are tied, I would say this, the two teams that the Warriors are currently tied in fifth, Portland and San Antonio. I actually like the Warriors more than those two teams. I like Denver more than the Warriors, so I would consider right now.
If healthy. Denver just, Millsap's been out. Their defense has been atrocious. Like, Nikola Jokic is 76th among centers in defensive RPM right now. That's been really, really ugly, and they just, Jamichael Green can't get healthy, and Gary Harris has been in and out. And they don't have a ton of depth on that team either. They got a lot of young dudes who kind of are not in. Yeah, I like them better than San Antonio. I like them better than the current version of Portland without CJ and Nurkic. If those guys come back, then maybe it's a little bit different. But I think the Warriors are a pretty good matchup against Portland because they have guys who can guard Dame and CJ. Draymond has always been a big kryptonite, and Portland just can't play any kind of versatile defensive style, so Steph is always going to kill them. So there's I think the Warriors match up reasonably well against Portland. I think they're kind of in the same group there. They could be the sixth best team in the West, potentially. And depends, we'll see whether Denver can get healthy or not.
We'll end with optimism. That's all right. Well, Warriors at Lakers on Sunday. And, Lakers beat the Blazers tonight, but it's a Lakers team that's kind of reeling a bit themselves. No Anthony Davis. I think they've lost like 5 of 7, something like that. So I'd say the Warriors will not be favored, but that's a winnable game for the Warriors the way they're playing. So I will talk to you probably Sunday.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.